ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, text 9, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. Punyaha gandhaha prithivyam cha tejaha cha asmi vibhavaso jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapaha cha asmi tapasvishu punyo gandha prithivyam cha tejas cha asmi vibhavaso jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapaschasmi tapasvishu punyo gandha prithivyam cha tejas cha asmi vibhavaso jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapaschasmi tapasvishu punyo gandha prithivyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavaso jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapaschasmi tapasvishu.
Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example that there are so many different flowers with different fragrances, but they all come out of the earth. So within the earth there is fragrance. But if we see the earth, it's just mud. It's not so pleasant. But if we smell the rose, that is very nice. So that fragrance that's originally there in the earth, but it comes out in the form of the rose. And similarly, there are so many different flowers. Usually in the more tropical countries we'll find many different varieties of flowers, especially very fragrant flowers. So Prabhupada would ask that, where is this all coming from? Can any scientist take the earth and extract some perfume from that? They cannot do. That is going on under Krishna's arrangement. So Krishna is the active principle in everything. There are many verses like this given in Bhagavad Gita. We'll see in the next verse also. Bijang mang sarva bhutanam, I am the seed of all existence. Previous to this, the famous verse, rasoham apsukondaya prabhasmi sashi surya pranava sarva vedeshu shabdake paurisham nashu. I am the light, this, how is that, where is the beginning? And the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon. The sound, om, in the Vedic mantras, I am the ability in man, and the sound in ether. So these are all things which are very familiar to everybody. Maybe not the sound Om in the Vedic mantras, but to Arjuna, who Krishna was speaking to, this would be a sound he would hear very often, as often repeated sound. The Brahmanas would be offering sacrifice, saying prayers, in which the sound Om is regularly vibrated. So all these things, you see, there's the light, all the different elements, the light that is seen, there's earth, water, fire, air, ether. So all of these have been described here in these verses. How Krishna is present in all of them. Many times Prabhupada used to say that people say, show me God, but why don't you see God in the way he says to see him? You want to see God under your conditions, but if you want to see God, you have to see God under His conditions. We want to see God, but you're not qualified to see God directly. So see God like this. God says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. So why don't you see that light of the sun and the moon? That is a representation of Krishna. In the beginning, we're not qualified to understand God directly. That's a very bold proposition. Let me see God. You can't even see a big man of this material world. Just like in Slovenia, I guess the biggest man is the Prime Minister, although probably outside of Slovenia, no one's ever heard of him. But here he's a big man. But even the Prime Minister of Slovenia, I don't want to insult your country, but I'm just giving an example. You just can't walk up to him and see him. You have to make an appointment. Even to get an appointment may not be very easy. Who are you? You just can't walk in to see him. So in the same way, God is the greatest person. He creates, maintains and destroys millions of universes. And you think that just, show me God. You think he's going to come and, yes, I'm here. I'm at your command, whatever you say. No. Rather, we have to become qualified to see God. If the atheist, it's almost as if he's, I don't believe in God, he will say. As if God's existence depends upon him. That if one day I might believe in God, and then by my mercy he will exist. Otherwise, as long as I don't believe in him, he doesn't exist. But it's round the other way. God is not subject to our conditions. Someone says, well, I think if there was a God, he should be like this, or he should be. But it's not what we think. What a foolish mistake that I think God should be like this. But rather, we should be how God wants us to be. And then we could see him. So, to understand God, we have to become pure. He reveals himself to his devotees. He doesn't just show himself to anybody. Why should he? He's not at our beck and call. Rather, we are at his beck and call. So to understand God, we are very much polluted, grossly contaminated. How are we going to understand God? How are we even going to begin to understand God? So here, God is giving some suggestion that I am the light of the sun and the moon. When you see the sun and the moon, and everybody sees, then you can remember, the light of the sun and the moon is Krishna. So by Krishna's arrangement, either there's sunlight or there's moonlight. Of course, in the modern society, we don't put much stress on these things. We're so much used to living among machines. Therefore, we think that light comes from an electric light bulb. We don't even notice the moon. But if you live in the village where there's no electricity, then you definitely notice the moon. Because when the moon is full, then you can walk around at night seeing everything very easily. But when the moon is new, and just dark, sometimes you can't see. Hardly. Do you know this? Have you? Oh, you're all city people, is it? You don't know. In the village, it makes a lot of difference. And you actually, still in Bengal, at least in the villages, they go by the lunar calendar. They'll say, now it's Purnima, means the full moon. Or now they'll say Amavasya, new moon, because the phases of time are measured by the movements of the moon, because it makes a lot of difference, not only to seeing at night, but the moon influences in so many ways. That word is there, lunatic. It's not just, how has that word come? Depends on lunar influence. And during the new moon, those who are crazy become more crazy. It affects the mind, because the moon affects the mind. All the different planets, they affect in different ways. So people are aware of these things, and they know that there are so many different things. Nowadays in the modern age, we can't follow them. Just like on different days, you shouldn't shave, because the influence of different planets are more on certain days. So on certain days, if you shave, it's good for health. That's why they recommend on Purnima you should shave. On other days, it's very bad for health, as we don't shave on Ekadashi. One reason is because we want to maximize our time for hearing and chanting about Krishna on that day. Another reason is that it's very bad for the health because of the different influences of the different planets are more different. Even fasting on Ekadashi is recommended because the influence of the moon controls water. That's why you see the tides depend on the moon, isn't it? So So the water in the body is also influenced by the moon. So on the Ekadashi day, because of the influence of the moon, it's better not to eat or drink. Of course, in the modern age, Prabhupada didn't teach us all these things. Don't shave on this day. Only Ekadashi, don't shave on Ekadashi. And if you confess, all right. If not, chant Hare Krishna and don't take greens and beans. But anyway, the influence of the sun and the moon is there. And those who are beginning to see God, they will see. This is the influence of God, the sun and the moon. Practically among village people who are living a traditional life, you won't find atheists. At least, even in, of course, in some Buddhist country, they're atheists. They're atheists, even though they live on the land. But even then, they know there are spirits who control the rivers, the weather. They don't believe in this gross so-called rationalism. They have this these rationals. I saw in England when the Rational Press Association. I'm ordering some books from them. That why you should not believe in God and all things. I'd like to see what they have, what nonsense they have to say, because they consider themselves rational not to believe in God. But those who live close to nature, then they know that everything is not in their hands. Modern rationalists, scientists, they have this absurd idea, we will control nature, we will conquer nature. Have you ever heard that? They say this. Madness. As now there's some hurricanes in Florida. Bring all the scientists. Tell them, control it. Can you control it? We'll put you in the 300-kilometer wind and ask you to control it. You'll be blown away. You can recite your scientific theories, x squared plus y squared, and boom. You'll be blown away. You can't even say it. So those who live close to nature, they're aware of all these things, that we plant the crops, but we have to, at least those who are on a very gross level, they propitiate the local spirits because they're afraid they'll interfere, because they know that we're planting. So many times I saw in Bengal, they plant the crop, they irrigate the field, they weed the field, and just 2 days before the harvest, a cyclone comes and destroys it all. It's bad karma. They have a lot of bad karma there. So they know they're at the mercy of nature. They know there's a superior force. That they're not, it's not simply by bringing a tractor and some fertilizer and some pesticide that you can produce food. And you bring a pump, electric pump, that brings water. And you'll think, oh, now we have all the ingredients to bring food. But no, that's not in your hands. You can endeavor, but the ultimate result is in the hands of God. So those who live close to nature, they see all these things. That's why Krishna is recommending. Krishna consciousness is active in every sphere, Prabhupada says. So in every sphere, you can see God. Rasoham. In earth, there is fragrance. All the elements are mentioned in these two verses. So rasoham, I am the taste of water. So every time you drink, you have to drink water. Everyone should drink water. You have to drink water. So when you drink, that taste is Krishna. That taste represents Krishna. For those who are not able to understand immediately Krishna, the Supreme Person, they can understand. This taste represents God. And those who do understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can also remember when they drink water, this taste is Krishna. Prabhupada gave one example. Sometimes our devotees are a little confused. Prabhupada said that whatever you like to drink, that taste, that is Krishna. You appreciate the taste. That's very nice. Just like sometimes they used to make this kind of nectar drinks with milk and cream and honey and mixing some ghee and some fruits. And it tastes very nice. You can imagine. Especially when it's offered to Krishna. So that taste is very nice. But any taste that cannot take place without the interaction. Water must be there for the taste buds to be activated. So anything you like, even wine, Prabhupada said, If you are addicted to wine, then if you simply think, when you're drinking wine, you like it so much that this taste is Krishna, so you're appreciating Krishna. The Prabhupada said, one day you will be a great devotee. He was not recommending that you drink wine as a process to become Krishna conscious. But the idea is that from any situation you can make a beginning. Even if someone is addicted to wine, he won't, no, I won't give it up. So even in that situation, just think that taste is Krishna. So earth, water, fire. Tejas chasmi vibhava so. The heat in fire is Krishna. That amazing principle. These so-called scientists, they say, man discovered fire, and that was a great step forward in human civilization. And bogus. This is a gift from Krishna. It's not just by chance. Look, just think what nonsense they're saying. That all these different plants grow, just like wheat plant grows. Now, if you take that wheat plant and you dry it, you husk it, and you pound it, you get flour. You mix that with water, and if you put that in fire, and you have to do it in a very specific way. You have to have exactly the right amount of flour and water. It's not that if you take 100 grams of flour and 1 liter of water that you can cook bread. You have to have the right quantity mixture. You put in the right temperature. You have to mix it, leave it. You put in the right temperature of fire for the right amount of time, and you get bread or chapatis. So they're saying by chance, this fire is there, it was just discovered by chance. Then how is it so many foods, they need cooking, and when you cook and mix them all together, such a nice flavor comes. Spices. The spices, if you take spices without cooking them, they're useless. Many times I see in the Western countries, devotees, they cook, they use spices, they have no idea how to use them. They just throw them in ghee for about 1 second, and that's it. And no flavor comes out. But the flavor comes out by cooking. It has to become a little dark. So how is it that there are so many spices, seeds, most of the spices are seeds and different ones. Cinnamon is the bark of a tree, and hing is the sap of a tree. So different spices, that when you heat them, flavor, such a nice flavor comes out. Just by chance, so many foods, you transform. Rice, can you eat rice? Just take rice and eat it without cooking it. You can't digest it. But when you cook it, then it becomes very nice. So this is all by fire. And they're saying it's all by chance. So many different foods, you mix them together, transform them. And there has to be fire, there has to be heat to transform them. And they're saying it's just all by chance. What? I'm just amazed actually at how they can believe this, that this all came into being. So many different interactions of nature all acting together very nicely. Everything you see, you can understand there is Krishna. Everything you see, if you have this vision, then everything you see, how can they say it's by chance? Everything is going on under some rules and regulations. The whole universe is going on like that. Just like this example. If you want to cook chapatis, you take 100 grams of flour and 1 liter of water and mix them. Can you make chapatis? No. You have to mix flour and water, but in the right proportion. And then exactly you have to knead it, not too long, not too short a time. You have to mix it for some time. Leave it for some time. Even to make a chapati, such a simple thing, there's so many things, so many rules you have to follow. You mix this amount of atta, and which kind of atta? Not any flour. You can't make chapatis from this white flour. It just doesn't work. You have to have this brown flour. It has to be ground to a certain consistency, and certain kinds of flour from certain kinds of wheat are better for making it, not any wheat. So many conditions just to make a chapati. You have to have the right flour, right amount of water, mix it for the right amount of time, leave it for some time, then again roll it out to the right thickness, and then again you have to put some flour when you're rolling it out. Then you have to put it on the fire on the griddle, which has to be not too thin, has to be thick enough, otherwise it'll burn. The temperature has to be right, then you get a nice chapati. So such, to make one chapati, so many conditions to follow. If you don't follow, you get something like a rubber tire. Not nice, and you're trying to chew it. Not, but if you know how to do it, then very nice. So many conditions to make a chapati, and they're saying just by chance, it's all by chance. Everything is just by chance? No. Krishna's hand is in everything. Krishna's designed everything. So everything you see, earth, water, fire, air, the smell, that's also smelled through air, through your nose you smell. That example is given in Gita also. Krishna gives that the air is neutral, but the air carries different fragrances. The air has its own nature, but the air carries different fragrances. So if the air passes over a rose garden, you get a nice smell. This night jasmine, is that there outside that window there? It looks like that. I didn't smell it, but it looks like it. At night you have to open the window and see. There's that nice flower, at least in India. I saw in Spain also they had, so I'm sure you can have it here also. That one kind of flower, which at night the smell comes. Rajani Ganga in Bengali, that's called. It means it smells nice at night. So that very nice smell, if the air comes past the nice flower, you get a nice smell. And if the air comes past the garbage heap, then you get a bad smell. But the air itself is not affected by all these things. So that example is given by Krishna in Gita, that the spirit soul is independent of all these material identifications. But because we come in contact with the different modes of material nature, we appear to be influenced by them. But actually we have no intrinsic contact with them. Just like the air smells nice, but the air has no intrinsic contact with the rose or the garbage or with anything. So earth, water, fire, air, ether, shabda ke. I am the sound in ether, Krishna says. Any sound you hear, that sound is also Krishna. So in this way, by hearing these examples from Shastra, in every sphere you can see Krishna. In everything you see, you can see Krishna. We see in the Bhagavatam, it's described the universal form of the Lord. So the rivers are the veins of his body, the mountains are the stacks of his bones, and then the trees are like the hairs on his body. So in this way, so many examples are given, so that whatever you see, you can relate that to Krishna. So much information is given in Shastra. Just on this point, the previous verse, the light of the sun and the moon. How many examples are there in Shastra about the sun? So many. Who can think of some examples? Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoyandaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhika. Wherever Krishna is just like the sun, and Maya is just like darkness. So wherever there is sunlight, there is no question of darkness. So in the same way, if we are Krishna conscious, there is no question of Maya. So in like this, actually you'll find there are dozens of examples given in Shastra just about the sun. Just like this whole material creation, it is this Maya is compared to a cloud. Now we are covered by Maya, we can't see the sun. But from the sun's point of view, the cloud is very insignificant. The cloud is created by the sun, and by the power of the sun, the cloud is eventually dissipated. So from Krishna's point of view, this Maya is very insignificant. But from our point of view, we can't see anything. We can't see the sun, because we're covered by the cloud of Maya. So like this you'll find so many different examples given in Shastra. We should study regularly Shastra and absorb our minds in this. And therefore, when we see here in the, you see this previous verse, that famous example, the sunshine, the sun globe, and the sun god, which is an example given to explain Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization. You can say, at least in English, you will say during the daytime, the sun is in the room. That means the sunlight is in the room. It doesn't mean the sun planet is in the room. But the sun is in the room. Do you say it like that in your language? You say the sun is in the room. Okay. So that means some realization of the sun is there. The sun has light. That's preliminary realization. Then if you realize the sun, oh, actually the light comes from the sun planet. So that's like realization of Paramatma. You have a local light. This specifically is the source of the light. But then, a more complete realization is to understand that within the sun planet, there is the sun god who is regulating the movements of the sun planet. So that's like Brahman realization, to realize the personality of Godhead. There are so many examples. In the Brahma Sanghita, it is said, Yat chakshareesha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta sura murti rashesha teja yat yagya yavrimati samvita kala chakra govindamadi purusham tamaham majam. The sun is like the eye of Govinda, the original personality of Godhead. And under Krishna's order, the sun is rotating. Under Krishna's order, the sun is the king of all planets. So when we see the sun, we can remember Krishna. That's a nice practice, actually, if you see the sunrise. Again, in the city, you won't see the sun rising. You won't see the moon because you see electric lights. You don't see the sun rising because of all these buildings. But if you're in the country and you see the sun rising, then you remember, oh, yat chakshareesha savita. Now the sun has come. Under the order of Govinda, the sun has come. Surya Narayan, the sun is representation of Narayana. Another example, there's so many examples, that Krishna has unlimited energy. Even in this material world, we see the sun has inconceivable energy. Even the scientists, although we're not sure they know what they're talking about, we're quite sure they don't know what they're talking about, but according to them even, they say that the energy produced by the sun is more than the human race, the whole human race combined together, can use in thousands of years, the energy produced by the sun in 1 second. So where has this tremendous source of energy come from? You see, so it will take so many intelligent engineers and research scientists to make one power station to give power, electric light, to Slovenia. It requires some intelligence and organization just to make a little power. But so much power, we can't imagine how powerful is the sun. And the sun is giving out so much power at every second. Where is that much power coming from? What is the source of that power? If the power doesn't exist by itself, the power depends upon the powerful. That is Krishna, the supreme powerful. And this is only one sun in one universe, and there are millions of suns in millions of universes. And this is all the external energy of Krishna. That's not even his main energy. So how powerful is Krishna? Another example, the sun is so powerful, but he doesn't decrease in his power. Even though he's giving up so much power, he's going on and on and on giving up power. He doesn't become depleted. How is that possible? That is an example of something, even in this material world, we see inconceivable potency. Inconceivable potency. There's so much inconceivable potency. We can't explain. How is it possible? Of course, we may go to biology class and we can explain how life is formed, that the semina mixes with the ovum and that combines, and then from that the embryo within the womb develops. So you can explain in terms of biology, but actually how it happens, you can't explain it. Why should that happen? How is that that the tiny cell in the semina mixes with the ovum, and from these tiny cells combining, a whole human body comes into being? And not only human body, different kinds of bodies are coming. How is it possible from something tiny like that a whole body develops with structure and form? And they will say, well, it's it's embedded in the genetic code, DNA. But that doesn't really explain, that maybe explains the mechanism of how it happens. But why it happens, and who has made such a design, how is it possible? This is all inconceivable. There are so many inconceivable things. Even when we eat, that's another kind of fire. Therefore you feel hunger. That's called ham vaishvanaro bhudva praninam deham ashrita panas panasamayurta pachamyanam chaturvidham. That fire of digestion is also a representative of Krishna. There are different kinds of fire. There's fire within the body. We say there are these different elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. And we say they're present. Fire is present within our body. So people are surprised. Fire? Yes, there's fire. Otherwise, how is there heat? The body is warm. That means there is fire. Means not the fire you strike with matches. A different heat energy. How is that warm? And that digests the food. How does that take place? We eat. We eat prasad, and non-devotees, they eat various kinds of things. Actually, it's a miracle. You can explain that in the stomach, the glands secrete different kinds of acids which digest the food. How is that all going on? How is that possible? We don't even think about it. We eat. I said, that was very nice. And we pass stool, and the food, you see, we have chapatis, dal, rice, sabji, and that transforms into blood, fat, energy, some transforms into stone. How is it going on? When we eat, we don't give an order, now the tongue should secrete some, the tongue and the glands in the palate should secrete some saliva, and now the stomach should secrete different acidic acids for digesting the food, and now the intestines now some part should go to the pancreas and some to the, and from there to the intestines. We don't send orders. Now pancreas do this, stomach do this, tongue do this. It goes on without our even knowing, and is transformed into so many things. This is a miracle. We don't see it. We don't think of it because we see it every day. We don't consider how amazing and wonderful it is, but actually it is. And we can't even understand how it works, let alone we can superficially explain it. But actually we don't understand, we only have a very superficial understanding. And exactly how it's all put together, no one could design. No human being could design a human being. We turned on the TV this morning too. I was going to watch this video of Prabhupada, so there was some movie on Dr. Frankenstein. What an original thing. So they showed the body with all screws and nuts and bolts and very ugly. So even they had some idea that if we were to make a human body, which they can't, but even if we could, we couldn't make it. It would be so nice. It would be something ugly and horrible. They can't imagine how you can design. It's perfectly designed. The human body, not only the human body, even the ant body is so perfectly designed. Prabhupada would say, you can design the Boeing 747. Now they have 757, 767. It's only Boeing kind of jets. But you can't, that's not as well designed as a mosquito. Mosquito is, you see the mosquitoes are flying, you'll have big clouds of mosquitoes. Here you only have a few mosquitoes. But where I live, sometimes you see big clouds of mosquitoes. So they're all flying. They don't crash. No crashing. How is that? Because they have a better system of design than you have. You see? So God's creation. That's more than... You see, the fly is flying. And the fly is landing. Very advanced system. They land upside down. You can't make your planes do that. Very advanced system. So, why don't you at least give credit to Krishna, Supreme Designer? Why are you such a rascal? You deny Krishna. Everything, the light, the heat, the water, these are all gifts from Krishna. At least, even if we want to enjoy this material world, which is a foolish proposition, but at least we should recognize that the ability to enjoy these things, that comes from Krishna. So the beginning of God consciousness is to recognize that there is a supreme controller, there is a supreme designer. And that's actually more intelligent. If you want to enjoy this material world, then why not approach Krishna? Why deny him? If you want to enjoy nice things, you can ask Krishna, Krishna, why don't you give me some nice things to enjoy? That's the beginning of God consciousness. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dhi ti reina bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Even if you have all kinds of material desires, or even if you want to get liberated, or even if you have no material desires, worship Krishna. That is the most intelligent thing to do. So here, Krishna is giving the beginning of understanding of Krishna consciousness, seeing Krishna everywhere, through seeing him in the elements. Nothing is different from Krishna. Everything is the same as Krishna in the sense that everything is expanded from Krishna. In one sense, everything is God. Some people say everything is God. That's true. Everything is God. We don't deny that. And he is everything. But at the same time, he is different from everything. He is everything, and as much as everything is produced from him. Maya idam. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta muritina matstani sarva bhutani na chaham teshva vastita. Krishna says here in Gita that everything is produced from me, nothing is different from me, everything rests in me, still I am different from everything. So this is perfect vision of understanding the Absolute Truth. Everything you can see, take so many examples from Shastra and understand everything is God because nothing is different from him. Everything is going on by his potency only. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. At the same time, he is separate from everything. He is the supreme controller of everything. He is superior to everything. We are subordinate to him. So the first stage of God consciousness is to at least accept his existence and be grateful to him for the gifts that he has given us. Actually, this world, we say it's a miserable place, but the karma is there making it more miserable. Otherwise the world is not as bad as they make it. If you see the countryside, the fresh air is blowing, at least in the summer, the weather is quite pleasant. So God's gifts are there. We can live peacefully by God's grace. Nature produces food. We can get clothing, food, clothing, shelter. These are the basic necessities of life. We can get them from nature. And now we are making big industrial enterprises which spoil the finer sentiments of the human being to understand God. And we become so proud. Oh, I made a factory. We don't see God made the whole universe. And we think we are dominating nature. We're torturing nature by causing so much pollution and drilling into the earth and to make so many unnecessary things. So Prabhupada recommended that our Krishna consciousness movement, one of the purposes is to bring people to a more simple way of living with Krishna consciousness at the center. Simple living and high thinking. Not just simple living. There are many people who are interested in alternative living, so that's all right. But we're not interested simply in living on the land, just like we're not saying yes, we're not interested in vegetarianism in itself. We're also not interested in just living on the land, but simple living and high thinking. That is the important point. Even if we're living in the cities, we have to live in the cities for preaching at least, but there should be high thinking. High thinking means seeing God in everything and seeing in everything in him. Krishna says, for one who sees me in everything and everything in him, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Then who is the father? Mother doesn't produce without a father. Nature, whose nature? Nature means energy. So where is this? Where is the energetic? Where is the source of energy? That's called Vrishika Tandula Nyai, the logic of the scorpions and the eggs, the scorpion and the rice. So someone sees that scorpions are born, rice is stacked for storage. So some way or other there's some fire inside the rice. So inside there, if you put your hand inside a stack of rice, which is kept for storage, you'll find it's quite warm. So scorpions lay their eggs inside that, and they hatch out. You also get scorpions here, right? Yeah, we saw that one. Just one of these towns, Zadar, I think. Not very dangerous. Anyway, so the scorpions lay their eggs in this, in the rice. So someone may see this, the scorpions are coming out of the rice, and they think the rice is giving birth to the scorpions. That life is coming from matter, because the rice, when it's stored, it's already, the life has gone from that, it's already harvested. So their theory is the rice gives birth to the scorpion, but that means they have insufficient knowledge. The egg, which is laid by the scorpion, has given life to the baby scorpion. Life comes from life. So they only see the immediate cause. They don't see the remote cause. In Sankhya philosophy, it's examined, there are two kinds of causes. There's the immediate cause and the remote cause. And the remote cause is the ultimate cause. Just like if you see the clay pot. So one kind of cause is the clay, the earth itself. You can say the earth is the cause of the pot. It is the substance of the pot. But the clay by itself doesn't become shaped into a pot. There needs to be a potter to take the earth. You have to take the earth, mix it with water, strain it, then just knead it to the right consistency, put it on the potter's wheel, and just shape it exactly to shape, put it in the sun to dry, and bake it. So many things are required to make a pot. The immediate cause is the clay, but the remote cause is the potter. It means an intelligent person. So in this way, you may say nature is the cause. That's true. Nature is the immediate cause. But the remote cause is the supreme energetic who is behind nature. Any other question? No. If you ask what is the origin of God, that means you don't know what is the meaning of God. Because the very definition of God means He is supreme and independent. He has no other cause. If there was a cause of God, then He wouldn't be God. So how can you ask what is the cause of God? It's a foolish question. Yeah, it's a logical impossibility to have that there is an ever receding. This is cause, the cause, the cause, the cause. Then what is the ultimate cause? Then how is we see there's so much order in the universe. Where there's order, wherever we see order, there is design behind that. It's not, then how is that? Is it just happening by chance? Someone, that one light bulb came into being by chance. Who would ever believe it? If someone says, "Oh, this is a new design of light bulb." So how did it come? Oh, just by chance. That just one day it was there. Now, according to your vision, because you don't know the answer, therefore you say it has come by chance. But actually, the town president said, "Gone by some light bulbs." of the light bulb was put there, but you don't know. And you don't want to say you don't know. You don't want to show yourself to be ignorant. And you don't want to recognize that the town president has any intelligence, because you're a rascal. So you say, just by chance. But no one will accept it just by chance. It just blew in the window. And how did the light bulb come into existence? You see, in this there is made from glass. There must be some metal filament inside that also. So that metal was extracted from the earth and processed. The iron ore was processed, purified, mixed with other elements to make an alloy, and made exactly in this way. You can't imagine. They say, well, within nature, within the bubbling of the primordial soup, just by chance everything came up. But can you imagine that just by chance, even after millions of years of bubbling of different chemicals, that one light bulb would come into existence just by chance? Would anyone think it possible that if there were all different kinds of chemicals under different conditions of different temperatures, that just by within nature, just by chance, a light bulb will come out, the primordial light bulb? Would anyone believe it? Definitely, to make a light bulb, there must be someone who designed it with a particular function and purpose. And then you have to, behind that light bulb, there's so many big industrial enterprises, glass works, steel works. It's not possible just by chance. That's a light bulb. Such a simple thing that we take for granted. So what to speak of the whole complexity. Even one cell in our body, when I was a kid at school, in our biology class, we learned about cells. So we learned that the cell is a very simple organism. Within a few years, scientists will be producing them within the laboratory. So I did my biology test. What is a cell? A cell is a very simple organism. You draw a thing, you know, some round thing like this with some other round things, some dots, and that's a cell. You point an arrow, this is this, and that is that. So a cell is a very simple organism, and within a few years, scientists will be producing them in the laboratories. Tick, pass. Now if I gave the same answer today, fail. Because now they've made more research, and now they say that even the most simple cell in our bodies is more complex than a vast modern city. So by doing more research, they're finding that everything is more complex. So if even a light bulb cannot come into being by chance, then what to speak of a cell, and what to speak of so many different cells which interact with each other and are formed by into these bodies. You'll see, they write in scientific magazines, nature has designed this so wonderfully. It's almost like they're admitting there's God. How can you say nature has designed so wonderfully? Design means there's a designer. They're saying chance, but on the other hand, they say nature has designed so wonderfully. It's like they're admitting there's God inadvertently. They can't avoid admitting it. But then you're saying it's designed. No, it's actually just by chance. What chance? It must be by design. It's absolutely impossible that there's no designer. So that designer is God. Then again, who's that rascal? That Hume, the Scottish so-called philosopher. He wanted to rebut this theory. According to the atheists, Hume dealt a hammer blow to theism by his speculations. So he said, well, okay, well, even if there is a designer, how do you know it's one? It may be a whole group of designers altogether. So from our standpoint, that may be possible. From our stance that here we are in Maya, in nature, trying to understand how it's going on. But actually the very method of trying to understand is imperfect, because we are tiny living beings. Just like if you see an ant crawling here, how much the ant is crawling, but what can the ant understand? The ant is in the same time, space, and circumstance that we are. He also has sensory perception. But his ability to interpret and understand is so limited that as far as the ant's concerned, the whole universe consists of his hole here and the grain of sugar here, and the whole purpose of life is simply to come out of here and bring it back. And he doesn't know anything that this is a temple and it's going on, Hare Krishna temple, why we're living here. His whole history, biology, geography, everything is from here to here. That's his whole universe. And we're in the same position. We're tiny living beings in a vast universe, and we're trying to understand how it goes on. So anyway, at least this much logically we can understand that there is a designer. People, there's the universe has so much order, it must be designed. You may say there may be many designers, but at least we have to accept the point that there is design. And there must be some purpose also, because no intelligent person makes something for no reason. Children, they make, when they go to the beach, out of sand, they make this sand castle. Do they have that pastime here also? They make some sand castle. It's only for play, it has no function. But an intelligent, or supposed to be intelligent person, when they make a machine, it has some function. Can you imagine if someone invents a machine, and make a nice machine with pulleys, and wheels, and cogs, and different interrelated parts, and someone comes and says, that's a very interesting machine. What does it do? It doesn't do anything. It's just a machine, that's all. I invented it. It has no function. Why would it? No one does it. If machines are invented for a purpose. A car was designed to go from one place to another faster than we can walk, and carrying more things than we can carry. An electric toothbrush was invented because we're so damn lazy, we can't move our hands up and down like this. So everything has got some function. Everything that is made has some function. And is so we can see there's a vast cosmos is there, there is design, therefore there must be some purpose. So this much we can accept. So okay, there may be one designer, there may be many designers, but you have to accept there is design, and therefore there should be some purpose. Then how are you going to find out about that? You're not going to find out simply by speculating. You have to find out from the designer. Because if he's designed it, and he's put us in, he must have some purpose. And he must have some way of communicating it to us. So there's Shastra. You find out from Shastra. That is the method to find out. And Shastra will tell us. There's one designer. Actually, there are many designers, but they work under the supreme design. There's a whole team. Brahma, he's the main engineer within this universe. And within, under him, there are different sub-demigods who do. And Brahma, he is working under Krishna. So actually there is more than one designer. But the chief engineer is Krishna. He's such a skilled engineer that he's so advanced in his science, he just leaves it to Brahma. You do it all. I'll give inspiration. You do it all. Yeah, because people think that God is supposed to fulfill our sense gratification. Prabhupada gave that example that his godbrother from Germany, Sadananda Prabhu, he told him that previously in Germany, everyone used to believe in God. But they're praying to God, the women were praying, please send our fathers, sons, brothers, husbands back. Hardly anyone came back. So they all became atheists. But God, he didn't fulfill our desire, then why should we believe in him? And most of the people who were previously believed in God, they ceased to believe. What's the use in believing in God if he doesn't do what I want? That's their idea. So when he first landed at London Airport, he first came to London, then one newspaper reporter came up to him challenging, What have you come here for? Prabhupada said, I have come to teach you what you have forgot, God. Prabhupada Manichan said, for the first time in the Western world, scientific knowledge of God is being presented. Before, there was some sentimental idea. God created the world in 6 days, then he was tired, so he had to go to sleep. Therefore, Sunday, we realize Sunday is the day you do nothing. Because God does nothing because he's so tired, so you also should do nothing. Sleep. So, some rudimentary ideas, but not proper understanding. Therefore, when all these atheistic philosophies came out, the Christian church couldn't stand up to them, and therefore they're so much compromised. Now, it recently, did you see that? That recently came? That the Pope accepted evolutionary theory. It's now accepted by the Catholic Church. They're compromised. They can't stand up to, because they don't have any philosophy. They don't have any proper understanding. Any other question? So you have 2 million people here. You have to convince them all of this philosophy. Read these books. Read Prabhupada's books. Everything you need to know to become fully Krishna conscious is in Prabhupada's books. And everything you need to preach Krishna consciousness, it's all in Prabhupada's books. Study again, again, again. And you'll understand the books by going out and preaching to others. Then realization will come. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai. Mahaprasad ki jai.